Chapter 4, 11 through 16. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Let's open a word of prayer. Father, I thank you so much that we can open your word freely, that we can read, that we can learn from it. And I pray that as we go through this section that it's not my words that are the important part, but it's how the Holy Spirit works through your word in each of our lives, that our hearts will be open to the specifics that you want us each to learn and to grow from. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we had the privilege of reading in Corinthians chapter 12 about the body of Christ, how the body of Christ is using the symbol of a person. Each part of the body, our physical body, is important. It plays a really important role. When you damage one little part of your body, it affects all the rest of you. I've had a hangnail before on a little pinky. I didn't realize how much I use that pinky until it's damaged. So Pastor was able to share with us about Paul's message on how important each member of the body is. And it brings out two points that we're going to address. The first one is, how does the individual gifting that God gives to us affect the body of Christ? The other is, how does the individual gifts that we have as Christians affect the world, the non-believers, that we have the privilege of witnessing to and being a part of? So we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 4. So when Paul is addressing this church in Ephesus here, his whole idea is on unity. So the first part of the chapter is one body underneath one Lord, and how that body is effective within the church. Starting in verse 11 here, he talks about different giftings. Gave the gifting to the apostles, the evangelists, the prophets, the shepherds, the teachers. Every one of these that he mentions here has some aspect of sharing information. Typically, we just look at one or two of those these days, one being the shepherd and two being the teacher. But each one of these has their place. They tend to overlap just a little bit, but they are gifting and they are specific, but they work hand in hand. They work for the same goal, and that goal is to bring glory to Christ by building up the body of believers. God doesn't give gifts for us to utilize as Christians just for busy work. A few years ago, I was talking with a friend of mine, and he made the point of saying that his dad had a wonderful job for he and his siblings of stacking firewood from this fence to this fence, because it's closer to the house. And for some weird reason, a few weeks later, it seemed like it would be easier to have the wood on the other side, so they got the job of moving the wood from this side back to this side. Now that I'm a parent, I can see, oh yes, kids need something to do to keep their minds and their bodies active. Not recommended, but it gets a point. God does not give us giftings as believers to use just for busy work. There's a purpose. There's a point. And he goes right into that in verse 12. He says, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. I drive a semi-truck. If I were to go to work tomorrow and I see a brand new semi-truck sitting there in our yard and my boss says, this is the tool that I'm giving you to do your job effectively, to do your job thoroughly, and to look really cool in a brand new truck. And I look at that truck and it's gorgeous, but there's no tires on it. I've been given a tool, but not an effective one. God doesn't leave details out. He sees outside of time and he knows what we need as individuals. He knows what we need as a body of Christ. And he equips thoroughly. Doesn't leave anything out. Doesn't leave details out. And when we have a gift from the Holy Spirit to use, sometimes it needs a little fine-tuning, and you cannot fine-tune a gift until you're using it. Look in the Scriptures and see any one of the gifts that are there. God gives them. It's our responsibility as Christians to use those gifts. And he equips, and he doesn't leave details out. And like I say, it's not just for our own glory. It's not just for our own little personal entity. It's for a specific purpose. And here, he's talking about those gifts in verse 11 to equip and to build up the church to the body of Christ. An illustration was used last week of a little toe that was hurt when Pastor was sharing, and how when that little tiny part of the body was damaged, it threw other things out of alignment. It can cause pain to come to the knees, to the hips, to the back. It affects so many other things. When we use our gifts, it's beneficial to the body. When we don't use those gifts, it can be detrimental. Something's a little askew. Something is out of line. And when these gifts are being used, it brings glory to God, not to self. 1 Timothy in chapter 3, it says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. God has given us his word thoroughly, completely. There's nothing else to add to it, and we're not to take anything away from it. This is our source of what we need to know. And when we are in this word, and God's word is working in our lives, that's when he gets the glory, and that's when the body thrives. When it talks about the idea of building up the body of Christ, it's not about creating a mega church idea. God is more concerned about each one of our hearts than the size of building we're in or the size of group we're meeting together. That's not important. If the individual hearts are not submitted to the Lord, and we're not doing what God has instructed us to do, it causes problems. When we're building up the body of Christ, it starts with you and me as individuals. What does God want me to know? What does God want me to be focusing on so that I will become closer to him? And when I'm in line with what he wants me to do, then it works out to other people. And when the body is doing this, think of that, if everyone were doing that in, let's just take this church, looking out for the needs of others, using the gifts that God has equipped each one of us as believers to use, the body of Christ will thrive. It starts in the individual, and then it goes to the church, not for selfish glory, but that God gets the glory through it. In Romans chapter 12, starting at verse 4, it says, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace he's given to us. Let us use them. If it's to prophesy, in proportion to our faith. If service, then in our serving. The ones who teach, in their teaching. The one who exhorts, in their exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Paul brings both of these aspects to the table. In Ephesians, he's addressing those that are leading, those that are teaching, but that doesn't leave out others who have giftings. That's what he addresses here in Romans, is each person has something very valuable for the body of Christ to learn from, to hear, and to grow by. And when we're using those gifts, it's amazing how the body can function properly. He uses word pictures in here, which is really cool. Paul does that constantly through his writings. Check out verse 13. It says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. He uses this image of a full-grown body, not a one-legged body, not a small child, but full-grown and mature. And he uses this word picture because he's comparing that to the body of Christ, how it's growing. We're constantly growing as we're being in the Word, as we're being taught, as we're using our skills for Christ. And as we're implementing each of these things, acting on them, we're growing to be more Christ-like. There is something that is not scriptural that people like to throw out, and it's about practicing these things to achieve perfection. God doesn't say that's going to happen here on earth, sorry. None of us are going to make it there. Because we have this thing we call flesh, we're stuck in it. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't get the victory. We have a choice. And when we are walking in obedience to what Christ would have us to do, and we choose to glorify Him rather than ourselves, that's when we'll have, I'm not going to use the word complete victory, but I'm going to say that's when we'll have victory over sin. We have this flesh, but we're supposed to be acting in accordance with what God would have us to do, and it keeps the things of the flesh at bay. But that brings kind of a different requirement there, is you can't implement something and share something that you don't know yourself. I try not to use my kids as an example too much, but it's kind of fun to. My son has been going through a college, they call it a class, where you take math and then you add a whole bunch of letters to it, and they call it trigonometry and all these other fancy terms. It's not math anymore because they're putting letters in there. That's not math. If I were to stand up in front of that class and say, okay, class, today we're going to learn about this and write something on the chalkboard that I see in a textbook, I would be more lost just trying to copy it from the paper than I would be trying to even teach it to the class. No clue. I can't share something that the Lord hasn't shown first to me, be able to implement, and then share to other people. Taking one step further back, we can't even take the time to share about Christ and what He's done in our life if He hasn't done something in our life. It starts with salvation. Realizing that it's not us. We're sinners, we're lost, and it's only by the saving work of Jesus and what He did on the cross for us that we can be forgiven of that sin. And that's when we become a child of God, when we accept Christ's sacrifice and His coming back to life to take your place and to take mine. Then the Holy Spirit starts working in our life with these gifts. When that's there, we grow, we can thrive, and we become a real body, like he says, to become a full-grown, mature individual as a body of Christ, that each one of us as Christians are so important to be a part of. It's not a child that he's using the word picture on here. Verse 14 talks about, so that we may no longer be children. Now, there is a comma there. It says, no longer be children tossed to and fro. No one tosses children to and fro. It's talking about a childish mentality, and Paul is using his own experience to explain what he's talking about here. Remember, Paul was spending a lot of time on the water. He's been shipwrecked. He's been in storms. And when he talks about tossed to and fro by the waves, I mean, they're constantly traveling on the water. So it's fresh in his mind about his recent shipwreck. Think of a cork. If you take a cork and you toss it out into the ocean, and I've been on some pretty heavy seas out fishing on the ocean before, it has no direction. It has no ability to decide which way to go. If a wave from a storm goes this direction and this direction, it has no control whatsoever. That's not how God wants us to be. He wants us to be grounded, founded, and solid in His Word. So we're not going to be tossed back and forth. And when He uses the word child, children here, it's a maturity thing that He's talking about. We have a brand new little infant that was here a few weeks ago, and that little one is growing. That little one cannot do for itself what the rest of us can do. It's having constant input into its life from its parents. It is being guided, directed, shepherded, so that it can grow. It is stable in that family. That's how we are supposed to be in Christ. The spiritual and physical aspects need to be growing, and they need to be founded in God's Word so that we don't have a lack of wisdom or a lack of knowledge. Tossing to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. There are so many people out there that would love to have you be part of their group. There's a lot of cults out there. They get started by a little element of truth and a whole lot of lie, because that's what Satan does. He will pull people away from Christ as much as he can. He'll keep people from hearing about God's Word. And it's our job to be founded and grounded in God's Word so that doesn't happen. And that's our only source of knowing the right and the wrong that God lays down for us. It's a biblical foundation. It's not man's ideas. We don't want to be easily deceived. And it's founded in the truth. So instead of being tossed to and fro by the waves or being buffeted by the wind of wavering and the deceitfulness and things that people will try to say to pull us away from the truth, we want to be speaking the truth in love, as it says in 15. We are to grow up in every way to Him who is the head, in Christ. That part where it says speaking in truth, it kind of has a twofold meaning. It's a more of an action verb. Rather than just the words that are coming out of our mouth in the speaking form, this is referring back to the actively walking in the truth daily, as you go in, as you go out, as you're interacting with people, as you're sharing with people. It's not just the words we say, it's what's in our heart, what's in our mind, and as we're walking in obedience to Christ, it's supposed to be constant. And it's supposed to be showing that love, which we're going to be talking about in a couple of weeks when we jump back into Corinthians, so we won't go into that here. We're supposed to be becoming more Christ-like. And as our physical bodies are growing and maturing, no matter what age we are, we're still growing and maturing. Our spiritual walk is supposed to be growing and maturing. And as our individual spiritual walk is growing, it's going to affect the others who are around you in the body of Christ. Whether it's in your family, whether it's here at this church, at another group of believers, wherever you may be meeting, you're going to have an effect on other people, because that's how the Holy Spirit works. He works within people, and He works in people to achieve His purpose, which is to bring glory to God by our lives reflecting the love of Christ. And the last verse talks about from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is what I call a condition promise verse. There's a lot of them in the Bible. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. The condition is you believe in the principles what God says about Christ. The promise is you will be saved from your sin. Well, the condition here is when the body is equipped, when each part is working properly, the body will grow and thrive. Will God's purpose still be accomplished if one of us is not doing this? Oh, absolutely. But how much better will it be when the body is functioning as the body is supposed to get something done? I used to run in track, cross country, all that fun stuff that you can do when you're young. And I found as I got a little bit older that there's certain joints that don't really work quite as well as they used to. It talks about the joints. What's holding this together? The Holy Spirit is the one that is joining us together. When the body parts are working well, the joint is functioning the way it's supposed to, and the next body part is working well, it's a smooth function. When the joint is giving out, when the joint is not working, the body part is not working right, the joint has a hard time of bringing that body part together to make it work right. Some of us can identify with this in this room. And when that joint, the Holy Spirit is bringing the body together to actively do the gifting that God has equipped those parts to do, it's a smooth process. And it makes the body grow, so it builds itself up, not for selfish gain, not for megachurch idea, because we want lots of people for something, but to be individually submitted to the Holy Spirit, to be obedient to Christ, to bring glory to God. That is what we're here for. And as each of us is using our gifts in this body of believers, we can watch how God will work. We'll see how He will grow us individually. He'll grow us together to be more Christ-like as a body. And then it can go from here to the outlying areas. And that part we're going to talk about next week. And then go back into the love factor of how we're supposed to be making that happen, because there's a lot of ins and outs to it. And the Lord gets the glory through it. Whether we personally are being obedient or not, God's going to win. He gets the glory. We are able to have the privilege of being a part of what He's doing when we're walking in obedience and when we work together as a body of Christ. And people will see it. People who are not believers are going to see something different. What is going on with this group of people that call themselves Christians? We're supposed to be that light and that witness. So are you using that gift today? Do you know what that gifting is? Scripture lays out a lot of stuff about it. God has given us each something very specific that we can do, something we may even enjoy doing, something we may be able to do well. It's a gift, and we need to use it for His glory. Use your gift for His glory today, throughout the week, as you encounter other people, as you encounter believers and unbelievers. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank You so much that we can open Your word. And there's things You want us each to know from specific parts in Your word. Thank You that we can act individually as a body, that the Holy Spirit gives us giftings to bring glory to You, to reach out to other people in different ways. I pray that as we head out this week, we would keep this in mind, that we're not here to serve ourselves. We're not here to bring glory to self. We're here to bring glory to You, and that our actions, our words, our deeds would reflect that. In Jesus' name, amen.